lightning bolt just begun, and you can see the water below. And we have Splashdown!
Hello, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
Yep.
And that was the euphoric sound of the Starship, the SpaceX Starship, doing a splash landing for the very first time in the Indian Ocean and doing it correctly despite this flap almost burning off during reentry. The whole team there, obviously, I mean, I don't think they're told that they have to clap that enthusiastically. I think they are really excited because this is the craft, together with the super heavy booster that landed in the Gulf of Mexico. This is what is supposed to take SpaceX astronauts and possibly many other astronauts to Mars. That's the one that happened this month. Next test is in another month. These are really, really exciting times to think about human beings going to a different planet for the first time.
Yeah. But I hope that those astronauts are aware of what we're going to be talking about next, the kidneys.
Science Unscripted.
Hi, everyone. I'm Keith Seu. I'm a renal physiologist at University College London, and I just did a study on whether your kidneys will make it to Mars and back.
Will my kidneys make it to Mars and back, Keith?
That is a big question mark. At the moment, it's looking like there are some troubled times ahead for whether or not you will come back with full function.
So if I go to Mars and then come right back, would they still work, or will they will they fail on the way to Mars and I can't get back, or where are we at?
So it's about a 9-month trip there, and then because of the orbits of Earth and Mars, it's not always going to be the same kind of syncing up of the two planets, so it could be another wait on Mars of a year before you come back into orbit again for another 9-month trip back. So you could be looking at a 3-year round trip. So even there and back again, if you're just kind of to circle around and come straight back, it's about 18 months. And our study has shown in a dose of simulated galactic cosmic radiation, this is the kind of exotic space radiation you get exposed to, that we're seeing signs of damage in some of the simulations that we're doing.
Can you explain for me what exactly is happening when I'm out in space, in a spaceship, and radiation is flying through my kidneys? What's going on there?
So the radiation that you're getting is coming from all directions throughout the galaxy. It's going to be going and hitting the ship. So the spacecraft that you're in, or astronauts currently in the International Space Station. And those particles, because they're very large, when they collide with the metal of the ship, they're going to cause secondary radiation. So you're going to get gamma rays, you're going to get neutrons coming out. That's going to amplify the radiation.
How exactly does that happen when gamma rays are going and hitting the kidneys? Do they just stop working? They can't filter the blood anymore? Or what exactly goes wrong?
So we haven't looked at the gamma rays, but these particles, the galactic cosmic radiation, they're causing the initial part of the tubules of the kidney called the proximal tubule. This reabsorbs all your sugars, your amino acids, 70% of your calcium, phosphorus, sodium, all these kind of good things you want to keep in your body. When it hits this part, we see damage, something called radiation-induced nephropathy. And when that happens, you kind of start peeing away these things, start wasting them away, and that can lead to failure of your kidneys in the long term. And we see this with patients who get abdominal radiation for cancer therapies, and the kidney's the rate-limiting organ for the amount of dose you can get.
Based on this research, if we put 100 astronauts into a spacecraft, let's say 50 men, 50 women, we send them off to Mars and they come back, how many have permanently damaged kidneys, and how many have complete kidney failure somewhere along the way?
So that's very, very hard to say. I think what's worth pointing out in our study is that we looked at 86 humans, about 400 mice, and about 60 rats that had been up in the space station for anywhere upwards of about 6 months or so, or had been on Earth in front of galactic cosmic ray simulators. But those simulators give a large dose of radiation in a small amount of time to simulate the total dose you would get over a 2.5-year or 1.5-year period. So it's not the same kind of setup, because we don't have the ability to leave animals or people, for ethical reasons, sitting in front of radiation simulators for years on end. So how exactly this will translate into real world, we won't know until we do a bit more research.
Can we protect these astronauts in any way by, I don't know, setting up the ship so that it blocks some of the radiation, or possibly giving them some kind of medication so that their kidneys are protected from whatever happens when this radiation hits them?
Yeah, so there's two approaches. There's one been looked at for a very long time, which is active shielding. So at the moment, we use passive shielding on the ships, so just the thickness of the hull of the spacecraft. The other strategies we're looking at from the clinical and biological side is pharmacological interventions, so drugs or therapies. So there are people looking at giving drugs to scavenge oxidative stress and reactive species, so using antioxidants, using stuff that would try and save the mitochondria from damage. Or people are looking at inhibiting certain genes that are being expressed that can cause damage. So these are inhibitors of something called microRNAs. And so they're all being investigated as countermeasures.
What is your favorite solution to all this? Because I want to see human beings on Mars in my lifetime. I'm excited for that. And it sounds like they are going to be mutilated along the way with a trillion little paper cuts of radiation going ripping through their bodies, and also on the way back. What is the best way to ensure the safety of the astronauts?
I think you may still see people there. Remember, there's 8 billion people on the planet. You only need a few who are willing to take the risk. You know, places like Australia, New Zealand, and the Polynesian Islands wouldn't be populated unless people pointed in one direction beyond the horizon and said, let's go this way and hope there's land. I don't think it's a far stretch to find a few people are willing to go to Mars knowing it might be a one-way trip.
Keith, how did you get involved in this research? Were you always a kidney?
Yeah.
A kidney guy?
Or a spaceman?
Space cadet. Which is what one was it? Have been calling me. I have been passionate about kind of kidney, blood vessel, blood pressure type stuff for a long time. And that's what I mostly do, is my kind of day job in special clinics dealing with rare diseases that affect blood pressure and salt balance. Space I've always been interested in. It's a bit sci-fi. Anything to do with space and the future, I've always been fascinated by. And I saw an opportunity when I found out that NASA had a biospecimen sharing program. So this is where any scientist in the world can apply for samples that have been sent up to the space station over the past few decades at the archive in California. The truth about how we got involved was two bottles of wine on a Friday during the summer of 22 with myself and my colleague Stephen Walsh. When we sent a tipsy email to NASA saying, can we have some kidneys? And it all kind of stemmed from there.
Based on what you know, Keith, would you go to Mars if you were given the chance, all expenses paid?
No. I think it's been one thing we've been talking amongst ourselves is that I don't think I would go up to, personally, I don't think I'd go up to space for more than maybe a week or so. It just seems like the changes are a bit too dramatic, especially in a trip to Mars. So I would gladly pass up that opportunity and stay in a planet that we evolved just to live on.
And that was Keith Siu talking to us from, well, he was in Ghent, Belgium. And that was just kind of circumstantial. Mm-hmm. But he's actually from the University College London.
Yeah, he just arrived in Ghent.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice time in Belgium.
Yeah.
And yeah, probably, and he would like to stay there. He would prefer Belgium to Mars.
Mars.
Would you go?
No. No.
Why not? No, I mean, not to Ghent, but to Mars.
I'm kind of claustrophobic. The trip itself, regardless of the galactic radiation that I would be exposed to, I just wouldn't want to sit in the same room for that long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's enough for me.
Nine months.
I'm not interested enough in Mars.
9 months on a cruise ship, except it's not a cruise ship. It's very Spartan and people are closer and you're feeling physically strange most of the time. And then Mars itself, I've always thought if you're really committed to the idea of going to Mars, maybe go to a similar landscape right here on Earth. Hmm. I don't know. Is the Grand Canyon somewhat similar, and spend a week there and see how you feel? But yeah, I'm with him. I'm with you I wouldn't want to make that trip either. Part of that is, I've got kids, I've got a family. That would be kind of a selfish act.
Yes. Yeah. And I have diabetes, which puts me at huge risk for kidney failure.
That's true.
So I wouldn't want to double it up on my poor kidneys. You know?
I think, on the candidate list, you might not make it anyhow. And that's good. That's good. One interesting fact that you wouldn't have heard in the interview is that when they take a look at people who have come down from space, and right now there's a Russian cosmonaut in space who has set the record for the longest total space flight. He's been up there for over 1,000 days. By the time he comes down, it'll be 1,100. Male bodies fare worse in space, in microgravity, than female bodies. And we were asking him about it. We were asking Keith, why is that?
He knew the answer to everything, but he straight up did not know.
And he said, we don't know.
We don't know.
And so an appeal to all researchers out there, this is a very open field of research. And I would love to know why that's the case. That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Any other questions, any comments? Would you go to Mars?
There it is, yeah.
Why or why not? Tell us. SU@DW.com.
Science Unscripted.
DW, made for minds.